Hey guys, we're going to talk about websites, website development, SEO, online marketing from the standpoint of search and websites, and those are interchanged a little bit. Not from a standpoint right now of social media and some of the other sources that are online sources. But let's start with this. So, Greg, you did,
Yeah, we just did a search. We're here in beautiful Annapolis, Maryland, so we just did some random searches. So we're giving you some examples that we pulled up just a few minutes ago, and this is Financial Advisor Baltimore, and this gives you an example of what, for some of you guys, you're familiar with this, but we wanted to explain what you get when you do a search result. And so when somebody searches in Google and they search for financial advisor, we did Baltimore. We've got another one for Annapolis, Maryland. But even if I left out Baltimore, Maryland, Google knows where you're at. So you're typically going to get a result like this.
Yeah, now, and let's start with real basics. And so if you're way ahead of us, that's fine. But for anybody who's not, financial advisor, Baltimore are keywords, right? So what happens is, and for those of us who are our age, we remember when people looked up financial practices, one thing or another, in the Yellow Pages. And the Yellow Pages was easy. There was a heading, everybody was there, you bought ads. But with Google, one of the keys on search optimization is show up in a bunch of iterations of keywords, right? Because what happens is the keywords are whatever the individual looking for you is looking for. So it might be IRA conversions or 401k conversions. It might be retirement planning. It might be, think of the iterations.
Yeah, if you're old enough to think of the Yellow Pages, they kind of narrow things down. They had to look for the kind of business. But on Google, they'll search for the specific thing they want. As you said, right. IRA conversions, IRA, cashing out my IRA, converting my IRA, converting my 401k.
Someone to help me with retirement plan.
Right. There's a lot of things they might be searching for. Yeah. This one we just gave a very general search.
Yeah. And now what we have is go ahead and scroll and go ahead and explain it, Greg.
Well, I want to maybe point out here, this top part, when you think about a search result, this is important to note. This one that says add here, this is what Google makes all their money from, and it's called AdWords.
Right.
And so when people will talk about pay-per-click or Google Google advertising, there's more than this, but this is a big part of what Google advertising is. It's pay-per-click advertising. This is what Google kind of became rich and became a big company on. These search results. So they look like regular search results.
Billions of dollars, yes.
Yeah, but you know that these are paid results because it says ad here. And when people click on these, there's no charge for these companies to show up here until they get clicked on. And then when you click on them, any of these companies that were paid to be there will have to pay a fee.
The monetization strategy stolen from GoTo.
Yes, and it's made them rich.
Yes.
This next part is the map section. Right, exactly. So this is, you can tell that this is paid. But this comes from Google My Business. So, and it used to be called Google Local Business, Google Places.
Google Plus.
Now currently it's Google My Business.
Yes, yeah.
And you need to have your business, you need to make sure your business is claimed in Google My Business. And also make sure you have reviews, and maybe you want to talk about reviews.
And these aren't bad from a standpoint of most everybody who said anything said something nice about them. But frankly, 4 reviews, 9 reviews, 10 reviews is anemic, right? And I understand it, and some of you are probably thinking, well, but we can't use testimonials and legally and all this stuff. And in the reality, the laws have changed. But what testimonial law in like all across all industries has always been, you can't make outrageous claims and one thing or another, and you've got to have representative results, not results that are unique. So one person has tremendous results and 9 people have mediocre results. You can't just use the one example, for instance, right? But to keep it simple is you really can and should work really aggressively to get Google reviews. Now, there's all kinds of different ways to do that, right? There's different apps.
Oh, there's a couple that advertise on TV. We've used, I don't even remember their name. I haven't been impressed with any of them, to tell you the truth. But the thing to do on this is, when you're actually meeting with clients, number one is, if they're happy and they're having, you know, progress with you, and one thing, just ask them, hey, have you had a chance to do a review on our practice yet? Oh, no. Would you mind if I just texted you right now the link and put up, you know, we love to have positive customer ratings up on Google and Facebook. Would you mind doing that for me? And so you're meeting with them face to face, or if you're, you know, meeting with them on the phone, or if you're meeting with them in Zoom. Now, what you don't do is, you know, put the rate us on Facebook sign on the door, because nobody does it. And you don't do the, hey, when you get home, would you give us a nice rating on Google, because then they forget it, right?
Or bribe them.
Or bribe them. Yeah, you don't pay them to do it. That's for sure. But just, you know, every time you get in the habit of, every time you're having a conversation, especially with a new client, you just ask them, would you mind doing a positive review on Google for us? What's really helpful? Oh, no, here, let me text it over to you right now, and then they can just do it right on the spot. The only caveat is, make sure they're not on your office Wi-Fi, because then Google will tag you for everything coming from the same IP address.
Yeah, so they can be on their cellular phone. If they do it right in your office, that's just fine, on their cellular. Make sure that when you, for your business, that you do fill out everything you possibly can on Google My Business.
Yeah.
Couple other things, you notice how these businesses say that they're open because it's during the day now. If you are an individual operator and you maybe don't get in your office till noon, because good, I mean, you have a good lifestyle and you're not, you're keeping your hours pretty short, still make sure that your business, maybe you're not physically in the office because maybe you're doing calls, but you're still answering the phone. Make sure that you show your business hours is all day, because otherwise this is going to show red and it's going to say you're closed. And make sure that you put as many possible things as you can in Google My Business, photos and picture of your office and videos. You can put all kinds of stuff in there, and that helps move you up in this listing. But a real important thing is the number of reviews. Yeah. And also making sure you have a solid website, which we're going to go over next.
You know, and what I should address is some of you don't know how to even get there to do the review. Just go to Google Maps. Go to Google Maps, maps.google.com, and search for your business. And when you get to your business, it'll show you right there a link for testimonials or reviews. And then you can just text them the link directly to that page to put a link on. So it's really easy to find.
Yeah, and there's also a claim this business or do you own this business link, depending on Google changes the way that we want to make sure that this is going to work for you guys. Google does change the way these links work occasionally, so just because we say it, this is where it is on Google, make sure you pay attention and look around a little bit, because Google's kind of notorious for changing the way that they operate and the way they do their algorithms a little bit. So just because we say it looks exactly this way, it might be different. And so we help our clients navigate through this whole process.
Yeah, so, and so we're as we're going through here, these would all be what you would call the organic listings, right? So you have the Google My Business, you have, which is organic as well, I guess, to be fair. And then you have the pay-per-click or AdWords listings, and then you have these organic listings. And your mission is, especially in a geographic area or in a niche, to show up on page one of Google. What's the old joke? You know, best way to be anonymous is to show up on page two or three of Google.
Right, right. Yeah, if you're not on page one, you're probably not going to get any traffic from this part of the listing. You know, even if you, and this does affect your AdWords results, it does affect your results. So even if you pay a lot of money for AdWords marketing or Facebook marketing, if you're not showing up here in this first page, you're gonna be paying more for your clicks, you're gonna get a lot of people that won't find you, and for a lot of other reasons, which we don't have time to go into today. And this is based on a lot of factors.
Yeah, and we'll get to that. I might point out, you know, one of the listings here shows up as Yelp, the 10 best financial advisors in Baltimore. You have an opinion about that?
Yeah, we've never seen Yelp be a really good thing to spend money on. You should They allow you to have a listing.
I might caveat that if I was a restaurant owner.
Yeah. If you're a restaurant owner, certain other businesses, Yelp would be a great way to, I would probably put some money into that. Yelp is really good at calling you and asking you to spend money on them, though. Especially if you, when you fill out your information on Yelp, they're relentless. They're very, very good. I'd really copy their business practices for their outbound calls. But for your business, they're probably not going to be effective at all. And unfortunately, we've seen a lot of our clients, before we started working with them, spend thousands of dollars on Yelp and get zero return. So Yelp isn't really where people go to find your business, your type of business. Again, as you said, restaurants.
And to be a little bit more brutal, I mean, they're a protection racket, right?
Yeah, they really are. It's kind of like what the Better Business Bureau used to be.
Yeah.
You know, be on the Better Business Bureau and be a highly rated business. But if you don't pay us money, then we're going to rate you down and we're not going to clear your bad complaints.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's kind of what Yelp is. Yeah. If you don't pay us money, then we may not rate you very highly.
Yeah.
But it really won't help you to pay the money. It will help you to make sure people write reviews for you there and fill out your information there.
And generally, the only place that I consider Yelp to be important at all, frankly, is when somebody is coming to your office and they go to Apple Maps. You're going to show up under Apple Maps. And one of the things. Also, as you can claim your position on Apple Maps, so you can go to Apple, and we can give you the details and the notes. But you can go to Apple and claim your position. Make sure, just like in Google Local, that it's set up properly. But when you pull up a listing on Apple Maps, it'll show the rating from Yelp, not the rating from Google. So that's the only time the rating from Yelp is particularly important from my standpoint.
So you want to spend a little time on Yelp to put the information in there and then get people to review you, but that's about it. And the good news is once you do that, do a little bit of legwork, you pretty much can ignore it other than occasionally getting reviews to be pushed into Yelp.
And probably order of priority would be Google reviews, Facebook reviews, Yelp reviews,
absolutely.
And then anything else. Right.
Right. And again, those reviews get picked up by other services. So that's another reason why they're really important. And don't get nervous about compliance, because we talked about this before. You do want them. They just have to be done correctly.
Right. Okay. So, and we were going to... go through some specific financial advisor websites.
Did you want to talk?
Go ahead.
One thing about how you get rated, and we're going to talk about the advisor websites. The biggest thing to get rated on page one, and really the only thing, is content. You have to have a lot of content. Bill Gates coined the term, I think, first. Content is king. And there's three main areas. One is that there's lots of content. Mm-hmm. The second is there's newer content, it's refreshed, it's new. And the third, maybe the most important, is that it's relevant. So, you know, you wouldn't be posting content on fly fishing, or you might, if that's your niche, if you do financial advising for fly fishing aficionados, but you wouldn't be posting content, you'd want to post content that's related to the keyword.
At least for search optimization.
Right, for search optimization.
And let's define that a little bit. Is content would be written material, often referred to as a blog, right? It would be audio material, video material, photos. So, you know, that kind of encompasses the choices. But by developing a blog, in other words, posting written material, and those can be reports, they can be transcripts, they can be articles, they can be, you do a daily email out to your clients and you repost them. And we'll go more in depth into search engine optimization. But that's the type of content, is video, written, photos, and audio. Audio oftentimes is referred to to podcasts. And so video can be
podcasts.
Well, exactly. So what we'll typically do is have a section with a bunch of videos. They'll turn into podcasts. They'll go out to all the directories. They'll go out separately to YouTube. We'll have a section with blog posts. Those blog posts can be repurposed judiciously in LinkedIn and Facebook. But generally, what you're doing is making sure there's not duplicate content. That's a mistake people make.
Yeah.
They're involved with an organization. Let's say you're with Northwest Mutual. And they have a ton of stuff that's available for their advisors. But you couldn't pull all that stuff out and put it on another website, Because now you get dinged for duplicate content, and it actually hurts rather than helps your search.
Yeah, Google doesn't want your content to be they want it to be unique.
Yeah.
They don't want it to be duplicate of other content that's out there. It's not strictly because it could be plagiarized or copied from somebody else, but it's just because it's not unique and it's not new. So then it lowers your ranking. So it's negative in terms of getting listed up here. So what you want it to be is unique. A lot of it, you want it to be recent, so that it's if you just put a lot of content on your website but never added any new content, your ranking would drop. So it needs to be continued to be added to, and then it needs to be relevant to your keyword. And then the last thing would be it should be unique. If you just pulled a bunch of stuff from found stuff from a book and then just copied it, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't help your search engine optimization. Now you see a lot of people, you see a lot of people that pay other companies for SEO, and be really wary of it. One reason that we're doing this for you is so that you can be smart consumers of the companies you might outsource to. And we don't expect you to build your own web pages for what you're gonna do next. In fact, probably most of you shouldn't be doing that.
Right.
But what you should be is smart enough to know who you're outsourcing to and what you're doing. We have some companies we recommend, it's really important to understand the difference between these things. So even though maybe some of this stuff is technical, you gotta dig into it a little bit so that you can be smart about how you move forward and do the right things. Because we see a lot of people that just have a friend build their websites or somebody in their office, and it ends up really being negative for their company and their practice.
And mostly they just end up with brochureware.
Exactly, they end up with stuff that's brochure. So we're gonna show you some of this now.
And to be fair, I mean, we're not digging too deep on that, but search, the page has to be set up properly. Google really cares about loading speed, and they care about it being completely mobile.
Mobile's really critical. Yeah, mobile's critical. Most websites, even when they tell you that works on mobile, are really not built for mobile.
Yeah.
And 80% of searches now are mobile, on tablets or on phones. So it's gonna lower your ranking on desktop. This is a desktop search, but it's gonna lower your ranking even on desktop if your website isn't mobile. Not mobile friendly, but really built for mobile.
Yeah, and there's some other areas like meta tags, so we won't go too deep in that. But also rankings and Google, I mean, incoming links, I'm sorry. Google started with the whole idea of PageRank, right? And Page as the co-founder, but the idea was incoming links. So the idea is if other credible sites found your site credible, then obviously it must be credible, and it pushes it up in the rankings. So you really want to think about three pieces, just to be simple, is making sure the site is structured well, loads fast, the right tags behind it, all that kind of technical stuff, and make sure that it loads for mobile easily and appropriately. Number two is work on incoming links. You're being listed in directories and all over the internet, and that can be being a guest blog post, they can be PR sites, etc. And then content in your site, and really that becomes the most important, assuming it's set up properly, is then developing lots and lots and lots of content. And we can show you later, but we can show you a lot of shortcuts developing a ton of content.
Right, and we can hook you up with the right people to make sure the rest of that technical stuff's done right. We just wanna make sure that you understand it so that you can be smart about it. Let's show them let's look at one more thing on the search results. We do, this is a pretty new thing that you should look at, is the Google screen.
Yeah.
And not every business can get Google screen. It's a function that that financial planners can do. If you look at the information, this is different. Let me pull up the right one.
Terms, policies.
Learn more here.
Oh, okay.
So Google screening. So what you do is you can get a little box and rating. You have to fill out your Google My Business information that we just talked about. And then what you can do here is you can follow the directions and you can...
it's right here.
Yeah. You can look at financial planners and you can get screened by Google. And it's just a background check that Google does, which is really easy for you to do.
All this, I mean, assuming you're properly licensed anyway, It just does a check for your licensing, that you have insurance, and you know that you are who you say you are.
Right, and then that gives you without without any additional. It's not additional cost, but then these would be part of your AdWords purchase.
Yeah.
So when if we clicked on these guys' links, we'd be going to their website and they'd pay their normal AdWords cost. So that's the reason you want this. I mean, it does give you some credibility, but it also ranks you higher in the AdWords listing.
Yeah. And again, we're in Annapolis, Maryland, because we're doing a leadership training behind the scenes at the Naval Academy. But we just pulled up randomly some financial advisors in Annapolis and in Baltimore.
We could look at this one first.
Yeah, well, we thought we would go through them with you, so we're discovering them at the same time.
Yep.
And give you a little critique, the positives and the negatives.
And so the first thing we talked about was about getting ranked, and that gets you more traffic. Now what we're going to talk about is, once they land on your page, how you would get them to convert into a phone call, or they'd fill out some sort of form so you could contact them. And make sure you understand, your goal of this is to get an appointment with them and get to talk to them. So no matter how much traffic you get, if they land on your website and it doesn't turn into an appointment, or doesn't turn into some sort of conversation, then the website didn't do any good, even if it got a lot of traffic. So yeah. We're going to critique these and that with that in mind.
Yeah, so let's look at
We haven't really looked at these either, so this is going to be new. So we're going to give you some feedback right as
working without a wire, so to speak. So what does our solutions have there?
Well, I would say, I'm going to say something first here. There's really nothing on this page. A big error here. If our goal is to get a phone call or to get an appointment from it, where's the phone number? So I might be ready. I might have even wanted to talk to these guys because I might have gotten a referral to Mark's Wealth Management.
Yeah.
And I might have wanted to talk to these guys, but there's no phone number here.
Yeah.
So I have to dig into the website. And what people don't think about is every time they click, every time they scroll down the page, that's another chance for them to abandon your website and say, oh, maybe this wasn't the right place. Maybe I got some, or maybe I'll go get coffee now, or maybe I'll do something else.
And to be fair, think of it like a newspaper. So this would be what we would call above the fold.
Right.
Right. So if you had a newspaper, above the fold is as folded as what you see when it's stacked up. And what he's saying is you want the phoner to be above the fold,
mm-hmm.
not have to click and go to a second page, not have to scroll to the bottom and find it. But you want it. I always think they're going to look at it in the top right-hand corner more or less. And where it says contact us, you could just as easily have, those menu items are different menu items, but you could have the phone number stuck right up there.
Yeah, and when it goes to mobile, this is not going to have, the problem is too, when this would be resized to mobile, see how when we resize it to mobile, this was my guess, see how it doesn't resize? Like you don't see, it doesn't look like an app.
Mm-hmm.
So this is cardinal sin. Whoever developed this didn't know how to build websites. So this website isn't going to rank very well either. But when it resizes, what should happen is there should be a little phone button there, like a little icon for the phone. So maybe I was in my car and I got referred to this company and I looked them up at a stoplight and I want to call them now.
Yeah.
I can't even see the contact us form. Now if I go to the contact us form, now there is a phone number, so that's good.
Yeah.
Here's an error that a lot of people make, and you might be seeing this on the site. If you have a live email address, whoever built their site, hopefully they're not watching this, because
hopefully they are. They'll
be very insulted.
Because
anybody who built this site clearly doesn't know anything about programming in 2021, or whatever you're hearing this in. Because even in 2016 or 17, you wouldn't do this because this invites hacking. So when hackers skim sites, if they pull email addresses, this email address is very likely to start getting hit with a ton of spam because the email address is live. So you never want a live email address. You might say, well, how are they going to get to us? Well, by filling out a form, this is safe. But you never want to have live email addresses. So this is one way to evaluate a website. If they have a live email address, you know the programmer didn't really know what they're doing.
Well, but to be fair,
I like the click to schedule an appointment.
Although it's so too low.
Yeah.
It should be higher.
Right.
And they it should have really been on the first page.
Yeah. But so, but to be fair, they have this. They
he's also being nicer to me.
They also have a chatbot.
They do have a chatbot.
It didn't pop up immediately. But let's see. Okay, that doesn't help much.
Yeah, see, the chatbot doesn't really,
yeah.
It just goes back to a form. What it should be is a natural language chatbot.
Right, right.
Those actually improve conversion rate. This type wouldn't. What should this should be is a form on the front page with some sort of gift or offer or report, like a free report of the top five ways to retire early.
Let's just take a look generally at this page here, right? Now,
we've got a lot of things to cover here.
I look at all websites like they're an ad. If I was opening a magazine, I saw an ad. If I was in a newspaper, I saw an ad. If I was in any environment, a postcard, you mail to the mail. You always want a compelling headline, and the headline is the ad for the ad. In other words, the headline is trying to get them to read the ad, right? And if you look at this, what's the headline? Marsh Wealth Management, their logo.
And it's up there twice for some reason.
Yeah, that's what I was saying next. Is it's up on the top banner. It's down on the second banner. And then, am I trying to solve a problem? Is my problem that I haven't met their team? Or is my problem that I'm trying to figure out, you know, how the new tax law affects my retirement portfolio? Right? So you want a call out, and you may have heard us say this several times, but I always go back to the quote, you want to get inside the conversation already going on in their head. You want to be like you're overhearing, surveilling the conversations they're having, stressed out over at the kitchen table late at night. You want to have compelling emotional call to look at the rest of the material. And the headline is never your name. And the conversation going on in their head is, oh, I haven't met Marsh Wealth Management team. Right?
Yeah.
And see, what we have a tendency to do is we think somebody who shows up at our site is looking for us, which may or may not be true, and is ready to do business with us, which is usually not true.
Right.
And is really just trying to learn about us. Well, I gotta share something with you. Nobody cares about you.
Right.
They care about themselves, right? So they're not looking to learn about you. They're looking to solve a problem they perceive they have, answer a question that they have, find somebody who can give them support, and then you're looking to show them, one, you can answer their questions, two, you can help them, and three, that you're trustworthy, right? So then some of this stuff, it's not that it's not useful, it's in the wrong step,
right? It's in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Like this information here isn't bad.
Yeah.
Oops. This information isn't bad. So these are the problems they're trying to solve.
Yeah.
Manage people's wealth, advise them on their portfolio, plan for their legacy. Mm-hmm. But it's down there, and you know,
it's not terribly compelling in the way it's written, but
no.
It's more in the right thing.
And it's learn more. So maybe I want to learn more about that. Now this is more of a brochure. So let's look at what they have. Still, I don't really know what to do. Now it's going to educate me. Maybe I don't know. And then I'm going to have to, what am I going to do? I'm not really sure what to do yet. I'm still, maybe I go all the way down to the bottom. And then this digs me in deeper. Oh, it just went to another section. So that's maybe, but still, there's no what we call in marketing a call to action.
Yeah.
There's no real call to action here anywhere. So this would be, this needs to be fixed. Again, there's live email.
Well, and let me reiterate what you said a minute ago and define call to action is, if I'm a prospective client and I'm a referral, and I sat down with my best friend and I'm trying to solve a problem or I'm lamenting my problems, and they say, oh, you should talk to Marsh Wealth Management. I work with them. I love them. Great. Now, the key word was, in all likelihood, Marsh Wealth Management. And
They were actively searching for you. And then once we get there, you're right. In most of the sites, we say, what would you say, 90% of the sites. Then you're right is they want to learn who you are and they want to make an appointment because all the other steps have been taken. But if you're doing search engine or pay-per-click, and you're probably doing a landing page for pay-per-click, which we'll talk about in a different segment. But if you're doing search and they land on your site, then all of your assumptions about what it is they're looking for are wrong, right? Is they searched IRA rollover, they searched retirement planning, or they researched Biden tax law impacts on whatever keywords they're going to use. And then if they end up here, well, what the hell do I care about meeting your team? I want to learn about answering my question, right? And that's what you're talking about, call to action, is think about there being more than, but at least two steps that are important in any interaction that's cold. Step number one is to capture some information, proactively follow up, and educate. Step number two is convert that to an appointment that then hopefully converts to a new client. And what we do too many times is we skip a step, right? We go straight to, oh, they want to make an appointment with me. That's why they showed up on my site. And we go straight to the appointment setting without realizing that most people who get there from Google are doing research. They're not actively seeking you out, right? They're, and in most cases, they don't think of themselves as being an active buyer. They don't think of themselves as immediately looking to hire somebody to do it for them. They're just trying to do research, figure out a little bit more, and figure out what the solutions are. So that's why the call to action should always include schedule an appointment, but not just include schedule an appointment. It should be, here's a free white paper, here's a free report, here's a free video, register for our webinar, attend our live seminar, and it could be all of those things.
You could have all those options.
Yeah. But all of them give them to give you information about them, give them the next step of information. And again, I can put all this information on the site, but really what I want to do is get their contact information and start following up. So that's why I want to have what I would call bait, right? I would want to have some incentive for them to give me the contact information so that they get that information.
Well, and somebody might make the case, you know, if whoever's building the website for him might make the case, oh, but they need to do research first and then they'll make a decision. Well, that, you know, it's not wrong. They may be doing research, but when they do make the decision, they need to immediately be able to respond. And in this case, when are they going to respond? Maybe I've made my decision now. I need to be able to respond. Maybe I've made my decision here. I need to be able to respond, but I can't. I have to like dig around to be able to respond. And you always have to make the assumption that the page will get abandoned if they can't respond at that moment. So there's two pieces there. One is, as Steve's saying, that they need to, instead of going right to an appointment, it's kind of like, what's the example we use? It's like going on your first date,
asking them to marry you. Bring an engagement ring, and if you have a good time, ask them to marry you.
Yeah, exactly. It's too abrupt, because an appointment is a big commitment. They need some other thing. Now, it doesn't mean you couldn't have on your website in multiple places schedule an appointment, because they may be ready. I mean, if this was a referral, if I land on this and I knew this, I got referred to this guy, it's totally okay. There's a phone number they can call. If I was referred to him and I'm ready, then yeah, there should be a phone number right there so I could call the guy and schedule an appointment, no problem. But there's also other steps along the way that I can take.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody does go on a first date and they get married that day. Not a good idea. But
speaking from experience.
No, that's not me. But anyway.
Let's summarize where we're at so far, and we can do that in another segment. How's that? The first thing we started with is Google search, and a key point to always remember is you want to, and there are tools to do this. It's very easy nowadays. You can find out what people are really searching for, and Google, when you're buying pay-per-click, AdWords, they'll suggest keywords for you. But what you want to do is you want to come up with a list, and we can provide this for you, but you want to come up with a list of 100, 200, whatever various iterations they are, and I don't have it in front of me, but we have it for you. Look at the list of keywords that people are likely to search for. And then you want to go to work on how is this going to show up in Google, and that's the content strategy. And at the same time,
to build out the content, the blogs, correct, and the correct. Podcasts and everything else, that's the content that you're going to put in the website.
Yeah, because if they search IRA rollover, you want a lot of content about IRA rollover.
So you show up in the search engines above other people.
Exactly. But then you want to make sure you, at the same time, go through and are buying pay-per-click is some of the best investment you can make because you have somebody who's actively looking. You want to make sure you're showing up in Google Local. You want to go through and do the verification process for financial planners because then they're showing you up really, really high because that's important. And go through those steps. And then when somebody gets to the website, think about it as just like somebody calls your office and starts asking questions, right? Your mission on somebody calls into your office and starts asking questions wouldn't be answer every question. Wouldn't be to have an hour and a half conversation about their effective retirement planning on a cold incoming call. We all know what that would be is it would be qualify, answer questions enough to have them feel comfortable, make an appointment to meet in person by phone or by Zoom to do a discovery meeting and to learn more, right? But the website is the same. And so many people confuse what I call brochureware with the mission. And the mission is to capture information and then make an appointment. And typically it's in that order, capture information, then make an appointment and not just have make an appointment or nothing, right? And so you want those steps. But we'll do some more analysis, give you a lot more depth in a different segment.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.